Hello everyone. I'm excited to announce that this October 14th and 15th, I will be at the Teach Better Conference. I will be presenting a workshop as well as recording live podcast episodes from the conference. I hope to see as many of you there as possible. And if you'd like to attend, you can head over to teachbetterconference.com/register to get registered today. And as a bonus, if you use the code SHUTUPANDTEACH, all one word in lowercase, SHUTUPANDTEACH, you can save $50 on your two-day registration. So head on over there to teachbetterconference.com/register, use the code SHUTUPANDTEACH to save $50 on your registration fee, and I hope to see you there. All right, listeners, thank you. Thank you so much for coming back to join me for another episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I am speaking today with someone who, like, I've been looking forward to speaking with, and in this coming month at Teach Better, I'm going to get the chance to actually meet in person. I'm not going to say much about her. I'm going to let her introduce herself because she does so much, and if I try to say anything, I'll probably miss something. So I'm just going to introduce her. Mandy Froelich is my guest today. Hello, Mandy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate your invitation.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing?
Good. I mean, it's the busy time of year for everybody, right? Like, everybody's getting back into classrooms and, making all of those new connections or reconnecting again. And so it's like a happy, but exciting and stressful time. So kind of like that for everyone, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a busy time. And so I thank you for carving out some time in your busy schedule to chat with me. Mandy, absolutely. could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do? Because it's a lot.
Absolutely. So I think I was an elementary educator, and then I was a tech integrator, and I was a director of innovation and technology right prior to the pandemic. And I had been consulting at the same time, so working full-time as an administrator and then consulting part-time, and it was a lot. So I had to make a choice, and I loved consulting so much because I felt like I made a bigger difference on a broader scale. And so And also my consulting was primarily in educator mental health, which is of course my passion area. So I now consult full time in both ed tech and educator mental health, which I've often joked and said I was like professionally bred for pandemics because I had both of those necessities that districts needed. And so that's part of what I do. So I do like leadership consulting. I do technology department rebranding and logistical type things. I do a lot of building online programs, especially from like pandemic learning to online programs was one thing I was doing for a while. And a lot of building courses and things like that. And then I also have the part where I do educator mental health. And so I come in and I work with districts as either, with teachers and talking to them about their mental health, all the way up to working with administration to make procedure and policy changes for school districts. And so I do that. I'm the CEO of EduMatch, which is, of course, your publishing company, and we're honored to have your book through us. We also do professional learning, and so I help manage a lot of that, along with Sarah Thomas, of course. And yeah, and then I have a bunch of things that fall kind of under the consulting piece. Like I do Girls Who Game through Advanced Learning Partnerships and Dell, and Microsoft and Intel. And so we focus on UN Sustainable Development Goals and creating girl leaders in STEM. And so there's like a lot of little things kind of all over. But and then I write books as well. So I think that's it.
That's it. Oh my gosh, that's a lot. No, I
It
appreciate.
doesn't feel, sometimes I feel like it's, other people are like, I'm involved in this company and this organization. And I'm like, no, I just kind of do my thing. I don't know if I do so much, but I
There you
try.
go. You just do what you just do what you got to do, right?
Right.
That's awesome. Well, you've mentioned you're an author, and I know you work a lot with as you mentioned, educator mental health. And so that's kind of where I wanted to focus this conversation around. So I just want you to give us this little, I guess, a preview of some of the resources that you have available for teachers looking to, better their mental health or keep their mental health in check. What are some books, resources that you have available for educators?
Yeah, so I have a couple books on educator mental health specifically. My first book was The Fire Within, and that one's a little more narrative, talking about it. The purpose of the book was really to try to destigmatize teachers who have suffered trauma and deal with mental health issues in their lives who are also in classrooms. And so that was the purpose of that book, wasn't it was to teach to inform a little bit on trauma and secondary traumatic stress and those types of things. But really the purpose of the book was to try to destigmatize some of those conversations and to highlight some of the things that our experiences bring to the classroom, that even though things like depression and anxiety have a negative connotation, our experiences give us certain strengths in the classroom, noticing other kids that may be being abused, for example, that are specific to us. And so that's really what that book was about. I also have Reignite the Flames, which is kind of, it was written prior to the pandemic. I would like to update that now with some additional information for the pandemic. So that's one of the projects on my list. But it talks about a lot of the work that I've been doing for about the last 9 years from the standpoint of a lot of people will are when I first started, nobody was comfortable addressing educator mental health at all. Nobody wanted to talk about it. I heard a lot of really stigmatized responses, like nobody wants to talk about sad teachers, and teachers shouldn't be crazy in the classroom because they'll make their students crazy, like a lot of just really misinformed statements. Now I think we're willing to talk about the mental health piece, but we're not really willing to talk about mental health issues unless it's burnout. So we're sort of labeling everything as burnout right now. And so we're getting there, like it's a journey and it's a path, but my goal has always been to try to label the difficult things that teachers go through that cause mental health issues, to give them the words to use in order to be able to move forward and heal. And so I spend a lot of time in the mental health issues place where there's a lot of people out there that will address the mental health side, but not so much the mental health issues side. And so that's really what Reignite the Flames tried to do, was give people a vocabulary to use to be able to label the reasons why they emotionally disengage from their work. And then from there, be able to find ways to move forward and heal. I also have the Educator's Matchbook, which is really just a workbook version of Reignite the Flames. And yeah, you got that. And then I have some resources on my website as well for educator mental health.
That's great. I'm holding up the Educator's Matchbook here. It says here, a weekly guide to reigniting your love of teaching, build resilience, and fighting burnout and disengagement.
And I have to say, like, I bought that at a time in my teaching career where things were very shaky, like mental health wise. And that book really helped at least give me some structure. You know, and I think because that's one thing when I feel anxiety, I feel like things are out of place and it feels chaotic. So just for me anyway, the Educator's Matchbook was a perfect place for me to start to kind of give me some structure to my days and routines and plan out things. But not everybody may want to start off with, you know, like a planner or something like that. So I want to ask this question to you, like, what can administrators or other educators who are looking to help other educators who may be struggling with mental health, what's a good place for them to start besides the, you know, the cliche, hey, make sure you practice mental health, you know, self-care and all that. Where it's a good place for them to start at?
Well, first I want to go back to what you said about the book. Like I absolutely love that feedback because that's really like I'm a very linear thinker, and so emotions can feel abstract and healing can feel abstract because there's no linear way to go about it. And so that was really one of the purposes of Educator's Matchbook, was to say like, hey, if you're a linear thinker and you enjoy graphic organizers and you need something to help you organize what feels chaotic, like this is one of the resources you could try. So I love that you said that because that was exactly the point of Educator's Matchbook. As far as other people, I think that there's a lot of things that administrators can do to change very logistical things to change the what happens as far as educators' mental health in buildings, and this can at district level, at building level, like everything from changing policies. It can be little things like understanding that a sick day can be used as a mental health day, and there's no judgment as to how you use that day. And so I don't need to take a mental health day and stay home and lay in bed if going for a mental health day means I get to go have lunch with my sister and sit in a restaurant and possibly be seen by administration. That's okay. I don't have to hide. I don't have to do, I'm doing whatever it is for my mental health. If that means that I need to go get my nails done, I get to go get my nails done if that's part of my day off and my mental health relief. And that's really difficult for people in education to understand, but it really is just a little tweak. As hard as it is to get subs right now, if we actually get the opportunity to take a day off to take care of our mental health, we need to be guilt-free in doing that in whatever way it works for us. And so that little things like that can be done, little tweaks to our current policies to give safety to those types of activities. Also, administrators in buildings working on the psychological safety of teachers. How safe do they feel to be honest? Are things followed up on when they mention something? Are they given the benefit of the doubt? Do you have their back? Like all of these different ways, that is just basic kind of climate and culture stuff to create that space. I would say from like just a human to human, one of the most powerful things, and I'm still working on this because it's an incredibly difficult space to get into, and because you have to kind of retrain your brain as to the way that it reacts and the way you talk to somebody else. But one thing that I would recommend actually is going in and learn how to respond to somebody without judgment and without invalidating their experience. And it's especially important to learn to do this when you're creating boundaries. Because usually if you're in a space where you feel like you need to create a boundary, you have somehow figured out that that boundary needs to be there and it hasn't been there in the past. And so learning to respond to somebody without invalidating their experience and invalidating their emotions while still creating that boundary is a really important part of supporting your own mental health and other people's. So those would be some kind of tactics off the top of my head that I can think of that people could do to support each other.
But that's great, because I had asked, like, how can an administrator help an educator? Or, but really, it's how can just a human being help another human being, right? We're, we're kind of all in the same boat, and administrators are not, immune to, trauma and all that as well. So yeah, I like the shift of your answer there to change it to, like, from a human standpoint. So I appreciate that. Yeah, I
Yeah,
appreciate that
and
answer. Yeah.
administrators are tired too. You know, it's really difficult sometimes in this space, in this area, because a lot of times some of the things that happen to teachers falls on the shoulders of administrators from the standpoint of creating policy and the way that things are managed. And so it's difficult sometimes to not say if administrators would just do blank, it would be better for teachers. In reality, administrators are tired too, and they also had a lot to change during the pandemic. And so understanding that everybody at their core is human, administrators used to be teachers. Hopefully they remember that. And if we work on taking care of each other instead of this very us versus them, like issue that some districts tend to have, we can, we're all fighting the same fight. We can work on being happier together.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So let's shift gears a little bit here. And we're going to talk about the Teach Better 22 conference this coming October, was the 14th and 15th in Akron, Ohio. I'm going to be there. I'm presenting along with my wife. Not together, we'll be doing our own thing. But Mandy, you're going to be there. I'm really, really looking forward to meeting you in person. Is there could you give us a maybe a snapshot of what your presentation is going to be on, and maybe what attendees might leave with?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm so excited to meet you. It's such a pleasant surprise to know that you'll be there. So the first session is my Show Must Go On session, which is my educator mental health session. And there'll be a very, very quick dive into it because the sessions are 50 minutes. I usually do a 2-day workshop on this, so it'll be like a 2-day workshop in 50 minutes, but we'll get it. And then the other session I'm doing, I've done as a keynote for a mental health conference, and I submitted it to Teach Better, not because it's necessarily educationally linked, but that I feel like we're in this in the place where we need to start working on and recognizing what healing we need to do moving forward. And that's really what it's based on. So it focuses on my experience as a child and the things that happened to me that I later in my life needed to heal from. And what I realized over the course of time was that I really needed an ecosystem of healing. Like it couldn't be all me. I needed people to lean on. And sometimes those people were counselors, and sometimes those people were mentors. And sometimes, it was about pulling back when people were telling me to push forward. And I really had to figure out what that support looked like. But it took a community and an ecosystem of that in order to make it happen. And so it's a lot about reflection on, my behavior is this is caused by this situation that happened to me, and here's the wound that it caused. And then this was the piece of the ecosystem that helped to heal that wound. And so it's not linked to education, but it is about being self-reflective and healing from trauma.
And all those things, you say it's not linked to that, but it's linked to, again, the human piece of it, right? And so I really trust that educators who, all the people who attend this are really going to benefit from it. I need to look over my schedule and see if I can attend, because I'm like, man, I have to attend that. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting you, Mandy, and just learning from you and learning with you at the Teach Better conference. So we're gonna get ready to wrap up. I have one more question for you, but it's a three-part question. And none of these answers have to be educational, right? So first, what are you listening to? What are you reading? And what are you watching?
Oh my gosh. So I am listening to a book about, well, it's basically about neuropsychology and the way that the brain goes through the process of trauma and healing from that. So that's, it's way more technical than the books I typically read. It's very much made for actual neuroscientists. So I've had to rewind, like, well, it's not 1986, so I have to like go back a little bit sometimes in the chapter. And so that's what I've been reading. I just finished up a fiction book. I don't read fiction books nearly enough. I just finished a fiction book called was the Witch's Redemption or something to that effect. It was about magic. It was like Harry Potter-ish. So that's that. What I'm reading, I just picked up Katie Novak's UDL book. She had just sent it to me, so I'm picking up that, and that's going to be my next actual read. And then what I'm watching, I don't watch TV very often. I really like these types of things are so embarrassing to admit. I love ghost shows. Like, I love shows on ghosts and like the supernatural, and not like the fake stuff, but the stuff where they go out and they do hunt, like ghost hunting. And I find that extraordinarily entertaining. And it's just something I can turn my brain off and just watch it and wonder what's really out there and all of those kinds of things. So, yeah, that's where I am right now.
I love it. You know, some people fall asleep watching those like murder mysteries and like all that stuff. You fall asleep watching, you know, ghost hunts. That's okay. So I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. Mandy, thank you so much for carving out some time in your day to sit down and chat. Like I said, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. This was a pleasure to have you on. How can anyone listening right now get in touch with you or connect with you, social media or website or anything else like that?
Yeah, so my website's www.divergentedu.com. And you can find me at Froelich M on Twitter. So that's at Froelichm on Twitter. And of course, you can find all of our books on, like yours as well and mine, on Amazon and the EduMatch Publishing site. That's edumatchpublishing.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mandy, again. And thank you, listeners. I hope that you can connect with Mandy, and I hope you will check out some of her resources. Especially, I'm promoting, for me personally, the Educator's Matchbook. Pick that up. It is, I mean, it's a gem. So thank you, Mandy. Thank you, listeners. We will see y'all on the next show. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Shut Up and Teach podcast. I hope that you'll check out previous episodes, and I hope that you'll share this with a friend or a colleague.